Let us listen now to our New Testament lesson as it comes to us from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 13. Listen now to God's word. Among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak of God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age know this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things that God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed upon us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew the face of the earth. Turn our hearts and our minds and our spirits toward you and toward the one true God who loved us so much that God came to us in Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Welcome back to class. As we continue our reconfirmation series, this week talking about, you guessed it, the Holy Spirit. Now, as one of the leaders of our biannual confirmation class that we offer to youth in 8th and 9th grades, it feels awkward to me to be standing here talking to you about the Holy Spirit. You should all have a bowl of popcorn that you're passing between you. There should be a flip chart with markers all over the floor of different colors so that we can respond with words, with images, with symbols, creating a picture together of the Spirit that is at work among us. And frankly, I'm kind of sorry that you're confined to pews as we speak of the Spirit that Jesus says is always on the move. We should, at the very least, be in a room with a good cross breeze. If it gets too stuffy, there are fans. You can turn them on. So let me try to take you there, to the upper room here known as our second floor parlor, for just a few minutes. I invite you to imagine yourself sitting in those comfortable upholstered chairs, gathered in a circle, and that circle is ever widening to include us all. Imagine the windows open on all three sides of the room, and from that vantage point you can hear the wind cutting through the room, seeing it push the curtains open, dancing in the breeze. And you can hear the chatter on the streets. There's always chatter on Bond Boulevard. Car doors opening and closing, birds singing, the bass from at least one car radio as it passes by and slows down at the stop sign. Someone shouts a greeting to a friend in front of the library, and you think you might recognize that voice. It's East Liberty, after all. You count off into groups of three. You don't need to do this now. And for the only time, the one and only time ever during confirmation class, I ask you to take out your cell phones. This is the only time that will happen. And you are invited to gather in your groups of three and take a 15-minute scavenger hunt through the building, coming back with as many pictures as you can capture that show us signs of the Holy Spirit at work. So we gather again, really more like 30 minutes after the assignment was given, and we start to look at the pictures. Now, you have already been warned that you will need to explain the rationale behind every picture. And we start to share pictures and experiences of people walking in prayer on the labyrinth, of the stone-carved dove in the Trinity Chapel just here off the sanctuary, of those orange banners in the Tezé Chapel, of missionaries hanging windows in houses along the Jersey Shore, of Malawian Christians gathered in a prayer house singing praise, of kids playing violin on the third floor, of the poster for the PW Bible study, of teens cooking dinner with friends from Rodef Shalom congregation, with the knowledge that that dinner will be shared with brothers and sisters of all ages who are staying over at Family House near Children's Hospital. And as we talk and share, and the list lengthens, we start to get the picture that the Spirit isn't confined to one place or one expression. As Pastor Randy said, there's no one word or image that sums the Spirit all up. In fact, you start to see that the Spirit shows up a lot in other people. The Spirit shows up a lot in community and worship and service and prayer. Then you notice where you found the Spirit in your own life. In those groups of friends that you can trust. In music that makes you cry. Regardless of whether that music says God or Jesus or not. And in times of service, when you realize that everyone has something to give, even the people you are serving. You've experienced the Spirit in prayers, wordy prayers, where you have listed your needs before a God who you feel can hear you. Wordless prayers, where you can tell that God is there. And you even notice that the Spirit shows up outside of ELPC, through the welcome of strangers, through the courage to do what's right, through a standout sunset that you saw last night. And you start to wonder if maybe it was the Spirit after all, talking to you in that dream about forgiveness. Or if it was that Spirit nudging in that impulse on your heart to say yes when Will asked you to help out with something at church. Something you did not feel ready to do. You wondered if that was the Spirit encouraging you to go back to school, to switch up your vocation. You wonder if it was that Spirit who got you out of your recliner last night and got you knocking on the door of your neighbor that you hadn't seen in some time. The Spirit, it seems, shows up everywhere at once, and yet at the same time is almost impossible to see. So where do we begin? Well, in any good confirmation class, we start to think about the Spirit within the context of the Trinity. How does the Spirit take its place as a member of the triune Godhead, the three in one? In the earliest centuries of the church, and indeed all the way through the 16th century Protestant Reformation, it was not uncommon for someone to raise a question about the origins of the Spirit. The question that was often raised was this: was the Spirit really one with God? Or was the Spirit a creation of God's? Or perhaps even a creation of Jesus the Christ? Church councils throughout the ages and theologians of the Reformation have continued to affirm the oneness of the Spirit as a member of the Trinity, as the third person of the triune Godhead, one of the same substance with God, working with God on the same aim, yet distinct in its relationship with us, and all of creation. Theologian Shirley Guthrie puts it like this. When we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, we confess God over us. When we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, we confess God with us and for us. When we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, we confess God in us and among us. Now, although the Spirit is present in both the Old and New Testaments, even seen in the opening verses of Genesis, brooding over those waters of creation, throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit doesn't say much through words. The nature of the Spirit is to be immanent, present, indwelling, inspirational. Perhaps that is the best way, perhaps that is why the best way to see the Spirit is often through our own lives and the life of the world. Now, Paul gives us some words to understand the lens through which we can look for the Spirit. He gives us this word of fruits. Look for the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And Isaiah and Luke tell us of fruits that are born through the anointing of the Spirit when those who are held in the Spirit work for justice, liberation for the oppressed, and wholeness for the brokenhearted. But in every case, the Spirit points us toward Christ, orienting us toward God's redemptive love made visible to us in Jesus Christ. The fruits of the Spirit are a direct result of God's presence with us. Now, this was true in the early church too. When the Spirit first showed up on Pentecost, much fruit was born through that speech that Paul delivered as the tongues of fire descended upon the disciples. The church was born. Peter's words were understood by all who gathered, even though they all spoke many languages. 3,000 were baptized. Lives were changed. And as the story continues, we see that the Spirit transformed those who were a part of the early church. The second chapter of Acts goes on to tell us how all of the believers held everything in common. They focused their lives on the study of God's word, on caring for one another, and on prayer. And so it is with us as God's story goes on. It's hard for us to see the Spirit acting upon us from the outside because the Spirit never stays at a safe distance. Instead, the Spirit works upon us as individuals and a community from the inside out, changing minds and hearts, directing actions, bestowing gifts, not for one's own glorification, but so that our gifts might be used to love. To love God, to love others in word and in deed. So we notice the Spirit through repentance and forgiveness, through acceptance and hope, through hospitality and peace. If it is the Creator who makes us and all that is, and Jesus who redeems us and all that is, it is the Spirit who animates us, who wakes us up in the morning, who inspires us to service, who compels us to love. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in us, at work through us. It's what motivates us to follow God, what allows us to hear and to hear God's word, what gives us the courage to love as God first loved us. Now, our scripture for today reminds us that the Spirit always points us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our epistle lesson for today, Paul challenges the church in Corinth to not get caught up in competing ideologies of the day or to cling to philosophies that mask the truth of who God is. Paul insists, however, that true wisdom is found only through the power of the Spirit of God, who reveals to God's people the wisdom of the gospel of Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. The same is true for us. We live in an age of competing ideologies and philosophies, a time of relative truths. But the Spirit that dwells within us orients our hearts and minds and actions to the life-giving truth of Christ, through whom we have been given new life. Now, for some of us, this awareness comes as loud and clear as clanging cymbals. For others, the direction of the Spirit comes through a still, small voice, speaking of the center of our heart, surprising us, disorienting us, renewing us. But it's through the Spirit, the breath of God, that we can live in Christ, as the first disciples did on Pentecost, aware of God's claim on our lives, strengthened to proclaim the good news of Christ's redemptive love in word and deed, and living out the gospel of Christ. Barbara Brown Taylor puts it like this. On Pentecost, disciples who had not believed themselves capable of tying their own sandals without Jesus discovered abilities within themselves that they never knew they had. When they opened their mouths to speak, they sounded like Jesus. When they laid their hands upon the sick, it was as if Jesus himself had touched them. In short order, they were doing things they had never seen anyone but Jesus do. And there was no explanation for it, except that they had dared to inhale on the day of Pentecost. They had sucked in God's own breath and had been transformed by it. The Holy Spirit had entered into them the same way that it had entered into Mary, the mother of Jesus, and for the same reason. It was time for God to be born again, not in one body, this time, but in a body of believers who would receive the breath of life from their Lord and pass it on, using their own bodies to distribute the gift. It's an exciting vision and a hope-filled promise that the Holy Spirit equips God's people to do God's work in the world, as individuals, as a community. But the Holy Spirit, it's not about the church receiving Christian superpowers so that we might heal and teach and preach and care with the cloak of heroism on ourselves. Through the power of the Spirit in our living, we proclaim the goodness of God's love for us in Christ. We bear Christ into the world for love's sake and for the sake of the God who first loved us. Because it is only because of God's grace poured out upon us that we can become instruments of God's grace in this hurting and broken world. When it's all said and done, the Holy Spirit is one more expression of God's great love for us. The Holy Spirit is one great expression of love through us. God sustains us in love, dwelling within us, empowering us for service, filling us with the wisdom and love of God, and interceding on our behalf with sighs when words are not enough. And then the Holy Spirit lays it upon our hearts to love, to an ever-deepening love of God and an ever-deepening love of others. Shirley Guthrie concludes with this. The gift of a new life of love, the gift of a new truth, the gift of a new community different from other communities These are inseparable gifts of the Holy Spirit and marks of true Christian spirituality. We cannot give them to ourselves. But if we earnestly desire them and do what we can to open ourselves to receive them, then we may pray an ancient prayer of the church, confident that it will be answered in surprising ways in our own lives and in the church and in the world around us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Brothers and sisters, take a deep breath in. Dare to breathe in the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life. Dare to be surprised to see what God might do through you and through us. The Spirit is on the move, brothers and sisters. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Eternal God and Creator, we lift up our prayers this day for ourselves, for the church, for the world. We give you thanks for your Spirit that sustains life, that moved over the face of the waters in the beginning of time, calling forth good soil and clean air, calling forth the animals, the flora, the fauna, those in the water and the sky above. We give you thanks for the rivers that surround our city and for the water that comes to our homes. We give you thanks for the variety of peoples that you have made and the richness of their cultures. We pray this day for responsible leaders and citizens, for healthy nations, for borders of hospitality, for schools that train up the young, food for all, shelter for all, clothing, medical care, art, laughter, love. For all the things that we've received from your hand, we send forth by your Spirit, so that all may receive the same blessing. Hear our prayer. Gracious God, on this day we call upon your Spirit in the face of all that we don't know how to change. And so guide us, inspire us, that we may stand beside people of faith wherever you have planted them, that we may work with them for the healing of earth wherever there are scars, that we may be instruments of your peace instead of tools for war, that we may be diplomats, inventors, mission workers, people that administer care to those wounded in body and spirit, that by your grace families may have what they need for life, that children may be safe, that all may be well. We lean on your compassion, O God, and trust your promise to hear the cries of your people. So be with us this day. Be with us and with all those that seek to grow in knowledge and service, remembering especially the students at the seminary. Be with us as we will join together in a meal, and that fellowship may not only feed us physically, but connect us once more as your body. Be with us as we go forth into this world, trusting in you, in your Son, Christ Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, and who has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.